Let's begin in Psalm 119 and verses 1 through 3 this evening, and we'll consider the term that is used in these verses here, that is a description of the revealed will of God, and it simply is called the way, the way. And we have examples of that in Psalm 119 and verses 1 through 3, where we read, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." So we have this description of the revealed will of God, that we are to, with all of our heart, and we've had several terms in that passage that we've already considered, and yet this is just another description to remind us of the value of God's Word, to remind us of the privilege and the benefits that come from knowing what God's will is for us and what he's provided for us. And so the word way here, that in the Hebrew, that's translated in English as way, it means exactly that, a way or a path, a road or a highway. It also has the thought of distance and journey, has the thought of a manner, the manner in which you travel, conduct, your condition, and your destiny. So it has all of those thoughts, and they all point us that we are on a path, we are on a road to a certain destiny. And God's Word is the roadmap for us to be able to travel through this life to get where he wants us to be, what he has provided for us. So the Bible reveals God's course and his conduct. First of all, his own course and his own conduct, how he conducts himself and fulfills his promises. So his word speaks of, his revealed will speaks of his own way, how he conducts himself. But then, of course, it goes on to reveal how we are to conduct ourselves in this life, which is a long journey. Life is a journey. And just like when you take a trip, there are a lot of different experiences along that trip and on that journey, some good, some bad. On some trips, you've had some difficulties from time to time, I'm sure. And life's journey is like that. You have all kinds of experiences. You see different things. You experience different things. But God's Word is the way that we are to travel, His way. What the path that he's laid out for us, and if we will follow that, it will lead to the destiny that he's intended for us. And that destiny for his children is one of life and glory. And to ignore God's word it's simply to end up on a dead-end street. Let's go to Proverbs 14, where we see man's way described, the way that man chooses to conduct himself, to live his life, the way that he wants to journey through life. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. God's ways, it is the way of life. But to ignore God's instruction, to ignore what he's revealed to be the path for us, is to lead to all kinds of death. Certainly for the unbeliever who chooses to reject the offer of eternal life, it leads to the second death. But even for the child of God, there is death that takes place when we ignore God's way, when we ignore his instruction for our life. Sometimes it's physical death, a premature death, because in the way, in God's way, there's protection, there's provision. But to ignore that, you put yourself at all kinds of peril, physical, emotional, just all kinds of peril. And so there's death of all kinds, even for the believer, and certainly death to spiritual fruit, death to our testimony. But why would we choose a dead-end street? Why would we choose the way of death when we've been given the privilege to walk with the Lord on this path of life? Jeremiah chapter 10 and verses 23 and 24 Such a fundamental truth, if the world would just pay attention to this road sign. Jeremiah 10:23-24 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. This is why Jeremiah cries out in verse 24, O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. So he was inviting God's gracious correction when and if he would stray from that path of righteousness. Lord, correct me, because I know it's not in me to direct my own life. That's so hard for individuals to accept that. I'm not smart enough to live my life in a way that's going to be profitable for time and for eternity. I don't have what it takes. And if men and women would just, and children would just accept that, we are his creature. This is his creation. He gave us life. He gave us this world in which to live. He knows the path that we're to take, one that leads to joy and peace and contentment and fulfillment, everything that man is looking for, but it's only found in God's ways. It's only found in his way, his word. Amos 3:3, to walk in this way is simply to agree with God. If he says this is the way, you ever been driving with somebody and you're going in a certain direction that you know is the right way, and somebody in the car says, men, don't be looking at your wife like that. Someone in the seat next to you in the car says, why are you going this way? This isn't the right way. And you can disagree and go back and forth. But if we're going to walk in God's way, we have to say what he says. When he says this is the way, we say, yeah, that's right. We don't argue with him. And this is what Amos 3:3 tells us. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? No. They have to be going in the same direction. And if we want God's blessing, if we want all that he has intended for us, if we want to arrive at the right destination, we need to agree with God. We're going with him. We're going to follow him. The familiar Psalm 23, let's read it. We're familiar with it, but this is what the psalmist David concluded as well, that he had to be led. And I'm always impressed, though it's a very familiar psalm and one that I've given many lessons on, but I'm always impressed when you stop and think about who wrote this psalm. Obviously, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it also was penned through a human instrument. And David was, first of all, he started out as a youngster as a shepherd. So he knew what shepherding was all about and how important it was and the responsibility of the shepherd. He also knew how dependent the sheep were on the shepherd. And yet this young man grew up to be a mighty warrior. He'd conquered armies. He became a mighty king, wealthy. And we know human nature. And there were times when he fell into the trap of being a little self-assured and a little arrogant about all of those accomplishments, and God dealt with him about it. But under it all, he always had that tender heart. He wanted what God wanted for him. And so he, this mighty warrior, compares himself to a defenseless sheep. It's a place of humility when he recognized, yeah, I'm king, I'm a conqueror, but I don't have what it takes to run my own life. I am dependent on the shepherd to lead me in the right path. The Lord is my shepherd. Just that statement is a statement of humility for David. The Lord is my shepherd. That means I'm a defenseless, helpless sheep. But there's a boldness that comes knowing who your shepherd is. I shall not want. That is, I shall not lack any good thing. Whatever I need to be a flourishing sheep, the shepherd will see to it that I have. Can you trust God that way with your life? Can you trust that he knows the right way? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And again, it's interesting that the shepherd has to make us lie down where it is most beneficial for us. Lie down. It's everything you need right here in this pasture. Lie down. Enjoy. Rest. How many times does the Holy Spirit tell you that and bring the word to your mind and to your heart when the Holy Spirit says, just believe what God said in his word. He leads me beside the still waters, waters that are refreshing, not the raging waters that'll carry me away and cause me to drown, but where I can take in that fresh, refreshing, life-giving water of the Word of God. He restores my soul. This recognizes that sheep sometimes fall over in the way. And those that are professional shepherds tell us that what often happens, and what this apparently is a reference to, is sometimes when the sheep are fully laden with wool, if they fall over on their backs, especially if there's mud and other things that kind of compact on them, they can't get back up. And of course, if they stay that way, they're going to die. But the shepherd is there to pick them up. And how many times do we fall along the wayside? For many different reasons. Sometimes just because we make the wrong step. We stumble. We fall on our backs. Satan would love to just see us there, panicking and wallowing and self-pity. But the shepherd will, when we look to him, when we want to get back on the path, when we want to return to follow, the shepherd's there to pick us up. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's that way. It's the right way. And it's for his name's sake. It's for his glory. We are his creature. We are the work of his hand. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? That's not a boast in self. That's not human courage. But there's a reason why the defenseless sheep is calm going through the darkest, dangerous places of life, even those that look like it's leading to death. It's because you are with me. The shepherd's with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were used both as for correction for the sheep as well as protection for the sheep. The shepherd would use both the rod and the staff. We can have no fear of evil when we see that we're right behind the shepherd. We're following him every step of the way, especially in those dark times. Especially in those times when we can't understand what's going on or why the shepherd is leading us through this dark path. Again, the experts tell me that this might be a reference to the time when the shepherd at certain times of the year will lead the flocks to a higher plane where the grass is better. But often to get to that higher plane, they have to go through some difficult paths and valleys in order to get up to that pasture that he's already prepared. And this is what the verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Before a good shepherd will take his flock to a pasture, he's going to go there first. And he's going to make sure all the poisonous, noxious weeds are not there, not present. If they are, remove them. Before his flock ever gets to that pasture, he's already been there. He's already checked it out. When you find yourself in a difficult time, in a trial, a tragedy, the Lord already knew what was there. He's been there. He's already got prepared for you everything you need there to be what you need to be and to receive all that he wants you to receive. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The sheep often need oil anointed on their heads and on their noses just to keep those pesky flies away and other varmints that'll lay eggs in their skin. And so the shepherd anoints. The Holy Spirit will be your protection, your comfort, those little irritations of life. And I say they're little irritations, but even for the sheep and those bugs, it can lead to death if they're left untaken care of. So yeah, those little irritations of life can really ruin your life. But the Holy Spirit is there to bring that comfort and that soothing if we'll just follow the shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I'm following the shepherd. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But unfortunately, Israel often said, and many of God's people say, we will not walk in it. I know what the Bible says, but that's old-fashioned, it's out of date, it's not what I like. But we need to return to those paths, the ways, the word, and conduct ourselves according to it. God hasn't changed the direction he's headed, and you're not going to make him turn around and go a different direction. When I look at the world and its standard of morality, and then the church follows suit, they're just one step or two behind the world, and how they look at some of the things that the Bible declares to be wrong and other things the Bible declares to be right, and then just like the Bible says, the world today calls what God calls good, the world calls evil. And what God says is evil, the world says, oh, that's good, that's great. And so you see how they're going in different directions. The world and the church at large is going further. They're walking further and further from God. We need to decide which direction we're going. The old paths. God's not going to change his direction. Let's walk with him, and we'll know the rest for our souls that we so desperately need. We'll stop there tonight, and we'll consider the last of the 10 terms, Lord willing, next week.